Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this precious time where the saints can gather to have this time of fellowship in Thy precious word. And how wonderful it is, O Lord, that in this spiritual retreat, we can find instruction in Thy precious word and also encourage one another in the faith. And so right now, as Thy people come united to hear Thy precious word, O Lord, please hear the humble cries of Thy children as they plead of Thee, O Lord, to feed them from Thy holy word. And we pray, Father, that Thy Spirit may minister to our hearts and help us, O Lord, to understand Thy truth to the profit of Thy people. So we commit, Lord, these things into Thy hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Though these are uncertain times, yet in life we can have this certainty in the one who changes not, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has also given us His precious word, which stands forever true. This word that is given by divine inspiration and is also kept pure through all ages. And we know that the sayings of His precious word are faithful and trustworthy for all ages. And thus, though this be uncertain times, yet we can have a perfect God in His precious word. All we need to do is to make sure that we cling onto His word, we abide in it, and we do not let it go. And by God's grace, we shall be kept in the good way. But the Lord has also given us something else, which is of good help to us in our pilgrim journey here on this earth. And this other thing that the Lord has given to us are our fellow saints. No man is an island when it comes to Christianity. We are all part of this heavenly family if we are truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we run this race upon this earth, we are not running alone. We are running together with one another. And the Lord has given us this privilege to be able to fellowship with one another, so that we can partake with one another in the work of the gospel and also in the sufferings of Christ. When one suffer, all suffers. When one rejoice, all will rejoice. And when we see our fellow brother or sister in trouble or in need of comfort, well, there we have the privilege of ministering to them, right? So they too can be lifted up in their hearts. And there will be times whereby your fellow brother and sister in Christ will be used of the Lord to also minister to you. And that's why in these uncertain times where our hearts flutter, how wonderful it is that we can have our brothers and sisters in Christ to remind us to look to Christ and to look to His precious word, so that we may not be lost. And in these uncertain times, we can say, yes, I know that I am on my way to heaven. I have this sure hope, which nobody can take away from me. And that's why we end off this theme with verse 24 and 25, right? It flows naturally from verse 23. Verse 23 talks about the good profession which we ought to have in the Lord, remembering that He is faithful, that promise, and to help one another stick close to this truth, God's word here says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And from here, we are going to consider three things with regards to what it means by together in these uncertain times. First thing that we want to see is this. When we talk about being together in these uncertain times, it means that we are to watch out for one another. And where do we read about this? Well, in the first part of verse 24. And let us consider one another. And what do we mean by consider right here? Well, this word has the picture of really looking at something and paying close attention to that object. To put it in focus and to take good care of it. And so it's not really to consider, but not just to consider, but to really give close consideration to one another. Now, of course, when we talk about having this close consideration of one another, we do not mean that we are stalkers of one another. And so this word consider, it doesn't mean that we are so attentive to another person's life that we need to know every single detail that occurs in the person's life 24 hours a day. So let us all have a surveillance camera in each and other's home and then make sure we share this feed. And then all the activities of the day, I need to know. No, that is not what this verse is talking about. And I think it's very scary if we are surveilling one another via cameras. But here, what it simply means is that we really need to watch out for one another. And we mean by watch out, we mean by watching out one another in a very diligent manner. To really care for that person. To really desire, right, that that person would excel in doing the will of God and not stray from the good pathway. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews right here is exercising this type of consideration for the Hebrew Christians in those days. He was very concerned how, because of all the trials and tribulations they were facing, that they were so tempted to move away from the faith. And he was not apathetic to this problem. And so he was moved in his heart by the Spirit of God to pen down this epistle. He really cared for them. He did not say, well, I have my own issues to face. These problems really seem to be more than I can chew. And so therefore, why should I care about your problem? And if we take the writer of the book of Hebrews, right, to be the Apostle Paul, then all the more, you know, the great issues that he had to contend with. In fact, it is more than a man could handle. Were it not for the grace of God, were it not that God was his sufficiency, he could have so easily collapsed under the weight of these things. And despite all these things, here he is writing this epistle to encourage the hearts of the Hebrew Christians. And so it must be the case for all of us, right, that we must not be apathetic to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially with regards to their spiritual welfare. One of the temptations of going through your tertiary studies and later on in life as you go to work is to be so focused on your own problems and issues that you forget that your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they are also suffering too. And as they go through the changing times, there are some that may be on the verge of slipping away. And yet you do not even know that they are on the verge of slipping away. And even if later on you know that they are on the verge of slipping away, you are not even concerned to even minister to them or to even pray for them. That will be a great tragedy. This is one of the reasons why the fundamental Christian ministry was set up. Do you know the history of FCM? The purpose why it was set up? Who was the one who had the burden to set up the fundamental Christian fellowship, right? In those days called FCF, Fundamental Christian Fellowship. Do you know? Well, it's been some time since this was talked about. It was actually by the late Dr. Toh Siang Hwa. He was invited to speak actually at the Varsity Christian Fellowship. I believe it's the medicine branch. And then while he was down there, he realized that the Varsity Christian Fellowship was on its road to ecumenism. And he was very worried for the young people that they will be led astray. So he realized that it started with him. He had this consideration, right, for the young people. He went, he spoke, and then he saw the people there, and then his heart was burdened for them. And then when he went back to the congregation, when we saw the youth, right, in Pandan, and then the other youth in the other BP church, well, his heart was burdened. And then the Lord moved him. Well, we must have this ministry. And then later it was called Fundamental Christian Fellowship. So the young people can gather together. They can watch out for one another. And then they can learn God's word together under faithful teachers. And your pastor was one of the first teachers in the FCF. Reverend, those from Kawi Pandan, the Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew. So we thank the Lord for that. And for generations, the teachers in the Fundamental Christian Ministry have also encouraged you all to look out for one another in school. That's one of the reasons why there is an FCF, so that you can come together in a convenient manner, and there you all can meet and then can talk about how you are faring, and then it forms part of the process of what? Watching out for one another. So don't go to school, and later on don't go to work. When you go to work, it's even more tempting to want to be alone. Next time when you have the family, even more tempting to be alone. I have now my children to look after. You have to make the effort. It's not just about my family. It's also about my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I got to know how they are faring. And at least I want to meet them. And then after that, in private, I can pray for them. And if I can do more for them, I want to do. By the grace of God, according to the gifts in which the Lord has given to me. But are you concerned, right, for the souls of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Young people, do not let the world lull you into apathy. And one of the things that can lull young people into apathy is what? Uncertain times, changing times. I see the change already. I am already so perturbed. Why should I even care for my brother and sister in Christ? Changing times, one. The other one, the deceitfulness of riches. Please watch out. In Singapore, very real. The deceitfulness of riches. Pray that the Lord will give you that burden for souls. Burden for the to minister to those who have not known the Lord, but even for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you must be your brother's keeper. This is something that I learned, thankfully, from the FCM. FCM is was very fundamental to my spiritual growth. As I mentioned, I think it was this morning, right? I'm quite an introvert. You know, in the past, if you put me into a room and then you lock me in for 1 month, I am the happiest person on the earth. It is true. If not, today my wife is here, you can confirm with her. She knows this to be true. And no, I have to learn how to reach out to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And how did I learn these things? Well, when fellow brothers and sisters in Christ reach out to me, then my eyes are open. I said, oh, this is the care and concern we ought to have one for another. Unlike the world who is selfish, our Christians, we are selfless. Christ always comes first, and because of the love of Christ, so therefore we must love our neighbors as ourselves. And among our neighbors, definitely even include our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are actually family. Actually, not just family, eternal family. Do you know that all earthly relationships on this earth will end? But your relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will never end. Forever brothers and sisters in the Lord. Even the husband-wife relationship, there is a limit according to the Lord. Till death do us part. So death will be the one that end that relationship. But if both are believers in the Lord, their relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ does not end. Still see one another in heaven. And so if we are part of the same family, just like how in the same family, brothers and sisters are expected to look after one another. I hope so. Do you look after one another? Because sometimes in the family, brothers and sisters, they are fighting one another. True? Or sometimes you all don't care. As you all get older, everyone has their own battles to fight in school, so don't even know what's happening to our own brother or sister's life. Sometimes we don't even know what is happening to our own father and mother's life. Because we're just too busy with work. No. Consider one another. This word consider here is also has this sense of being of actively looking out, right? Consistently. So this is the first thing, right, that we have to understand. And then secondly, we also have to understand that we are to stir up one another, right? So not only to consider one another, we are to stir up one another. And what do we mean by stirring up one another? Well, you look at the next part of verse 24. Right? We are supposed to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Now, this word provoke is very interesting. It's only used two times in the scriptures. The first time it is used in the scripture is actually in a very negative way. You turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Right. Yes, correct. Acts chapter 15 and verse 39. And here God's word says, right, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Now, so the word for provoke right here is actually the word contention. And what is happening right here is that they were inciting one another in a very negative way. Like you can see the word for provocation has this understanding also of inciting one another, of poking another person, or in when you talk about in terms of in medical terms, maybe Su-en will know better. Right, this is a paroxysmos. What is paroxysmos? Any other doctors? Well, here it talks about a person who goes into a sudden fit. Right, so there is a certain condition that came upon a person, and then the person goes into an uncontrollable fit. So in this case, with regards to the contention, something provoked them. Of course, it will be one another that they are angry with. And this provocation become a contention that was so sharp that in the end, it resulted in division. Here, Paul was taking issue with how Barnabas was intending to take Mark along the missionary journey, and he felt that it was too soon, right? And so there was this contention, right? Because Mark recently had just deserted, right? Deserted them in the previous missionary journey. Now Barnabas so soon, right? Taking in Mark, I said, no, cannot, too early. And then it became a source of argument, and they were provoking one another, and this provocation is not a good one. Right, especially on the part of Barnabas, right? He should have listened to Paul. Right? Paul was right. Paul was correct right here. In fact, if you read Acts carefully, you will find that the church actually agreed with Paul. They supported him, and they were the ones that sent Paul out together with Silas. Nothing said about Barnabas and Mark. Right? So this is a wrong kind of provocation. Right? The right type of provocation is in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, where it says provoke one another, but not to contention, not to this type of unnecessary division, but unto what? Unto love and to good works. Take note, it's unto love and to good works, not unto lust and unto good works. Because you can easily provoke one another to sin. Now, it's good for us to be together, but if you are united in the wrong thing, it is the dangerous unity. I shared with you how in the past there was one time an FCM group actually went to watch a very undesirable movie on the Passion of Christ. And nothing was done to stop them. And they were very united in it. They all went for an outing. Just like how y'all went for outing this afternoon, but that one was a good outing. I saw the card. Though I have great problems looking at what was on the card. How many of you have great problems looking at the card? No, right? Because you are all young. I have great problems. Because very small. But I took off the specs, I saw the content was really very good. That is a good type of provoking, you know? Get one another to talk, get one another to share, and after that you stir that person up, you incite that person in the right way. Hey, why don't you do more to what? Do more to love the Lord. do more to do that which is good in the sight of God. Remember, good works right here. How do you know whether a work is good? When God calls it good. When the word of God defines it as good, that will be a good work. Right? When God is pleased with that work, then that is a good work. Right? Do that which is well-pleasing in the sight of God. Why don't you do more? Then that is good. And so I'm glad you all had that walk and talk. That was time spent profitably. Now praise the Lord. So provoking the right things, right? Incite or stir one another in the right things, not to lust, right? To love. And what is love? Oh, that one is a very big topic. I am currently writing on this, actually. I'm still writing. I did a module before on the doctrine of love. Big topic. Next time, if you all would like to study on it, right, you all should study. In fact, I think you all had, in Pandan recently had one series on love. The various aspects of love in which you have to consider how love is within the Godhead, and how the Father loves the Son, how the Son loves the Father, and after that, how God loves us, or firstly, how God loves the world, and after that, how God loves His children, and after that, how God demands that His children should love Him, and how we as God's people should love one another. And then after that, how we as God's people should love the people in the world. A lot to study. And all these things, of course, right, is rooted in truth, right? Love cannot be without truth. And so, yes, right, when we provoke one another unto love, we are provoking one another unto these things, right? To love God as well as to love one another, as well as to love, right, fellow men. So take note, right, of what we are supposed to do. Don't come together and then encourage one another to sin, to go to the world. Sometimes Christians say, I come together for fellowship, but come to fellowship for is what? Oh, sit there, drink coffee, and after that, talk about how to earn big bucks in the world. Oh, fellowship between mothers, fellowship between fathers. Well, we thank God there are mothers and fathers fellowship all around. In certain churches, men's fellowship, women's fellowship, sometimes mothers, they gather together, and then they talk. And then they give one another advice, but they give one another the wrong advice. How to tackle the PSLE for your children? And they encourage one another in worldly philosophy. Drive your children to academic studies instead of focusing on what? Focusing on teaching their children how to love the Lord. Then that is not called provoking one another unto love. That's not called provoking one another unto good works. That's called provoking one another unto evil works. That's why you have to understand together. But what do you mean by together? Yes, first watch out for one another. But watch out is one thing. You need to be active. And so it was this provoking. But provoking what way? Provoke in the good way. Right? Provoke people to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to His word. Right? That is the key. So that is the second point. And lastly, it will be this. Right? It will be what is found right here in verse 25. Right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Right. So not only is there this watching for one another, not only is there this stirring up of one another, but there is also this urgency to meet with one another. urgent. And where do we get this sense of urgency? Well, by what we see at the end of the verse, where it says, as ye see the day approaching. What is this day? Right, considering that what is written in the beginning of the book of Hebrews, which talks about these days being the last days, well, this day would be the day of Christ, the return of Christ. Christ is returning very soon. And you know that when Christ is returning very soon, how these last days would be like. You have already known the spirit of the times, and you are already experiencing the evil and wickedness in this world, causing great uncertainty in your lives. And so there is no time to waste dwelling in sin, and there is no time to waste being lax and apathetic on spiritual things. It is time to do our very best for our Master and to witness for Christ. It's time to really grow in His Word and be Christ-like in our testimony and not falter in our profession of faith. Because you see the day approaching. The word approaching here has this sense of being very near at the door, just outside the door. You know, one of the things that is very precious right here in the BP Church is this emphasis on the imminent return of Christ, right? The word is imminent. That means it can come anytime, maybe today. Now, despite this emphasis on this truth, sometimes you find people say, hey, you know, when I look at the signs that are going on, regards to Israel, regards to world, I think there is still some time before the Lord will return. So, not so urgent to do the things of Christ. Very wrong attitude. If you read God's word, and especially when you read things concerning the return of Christ, or not just the return of Christ, but concerning the day of the Lord, you read very often this statement, the day of the Lord is near. The word near there has this sense of, yeah, at the door, imminent. It can be any time. So you talk about, for example, the books of the minor prophets. They are written thousands of years ago. That time, the Lord emphasized to the readers or the hearers, the day of the Lord is near. That means you must have it in your heart that it can come anytime. What more for us today? In other words, the Lord says, it's no time for you to relax. There is an urgent need to ensure that while you are given this limited time upon this earth before you meet with the Lord, that you must have an impact for the Lord here. Because after that, when you are taken home to be with the Lord, you will be with your family forever. Meet me there, right? We sang just now. But whatever you can do for the Lord upon this earth is over. So that's why it is no time to have a testimony that is tainted. We must do our very best to make sure our testimony is pure. So therefore, do not neglect. Right? Do not forsake. And this word forsake, of course, talks about neglect. But behind this command not to neglect, there is this sense of urgency. Right? Positively, do not neglect, but urgently, right? Assemble yourselves together. And the way it's written in verse 25, it can also be rendered in this way. Stop forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, some of the Hebrew Christians there were already pulling themselves away from having times of fellowship with one another. And why? Well, it has already been discussed in the previous messages. You know how difficult times were for them. Cannot buy and sell. Some of them are being hunted down. Some of them are being ostracized. Some of them feel very lonely, being away from other people in society. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't find myself in association with Christians. And ironically, the more they isolate themselves, the further they find themselves away from the Lord, the weaker their testimony for the Lord was. What was actually good for them is they should meet with one another and encourage one another in the faith. So therefore, urgently meet. Don't fall into this trap, Hebrew Christians, and don't fall into this trap, dear young Christians of today. That's why I'm very glad that, you know, the FCM is still standing after all these years. Glad to see all of you here. And glad to see that you are here with the right purpose. You are not gathering here to provoke one another unto lust, but you are here to exhort one another, to encourage one another in the faith. And you all think that it is most urgent to do so. This is on top of all the other responsibilities that you all have. And some of you are here for the full program. Some of you for the part program. Some of you are the part program because why? You all have internship. I see Joshua right here. And Joshua was just telling me it's very, very tough in internship, right? Yeah, but I'm glad he's here. Taking the time off, right, to have fellowship with all of you. You know, by doing so, I believe his heart is encouraged by all of you. And, you know, he not only encourages all of you, he's not only encouraged by all of you, he also encourages all of you by being here, and it's also encouragement to me. Right? I'm very encouraged to see him here. That's why, you know, sometimes don't say that I just come and then I just listen to God's word means I'm not doing anything. Sometimes just by being around, you cannot imagine the kind of impact that you have on your fellow brothers and sisters' life. What happens if every one of us just says, well, maybe I can do nothing, I don't need to be around. And every one of us do so, and then everyone starts to withdraw from the Assembly of the Saints, soon no more camp. And then the message will be a very discouraging one from for the saints, right? Just by being around, we encourage one another to press on. That's the purpose of why we are here. Our purpose why we are here is not to socialize. Some, they say, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, but it's used as a call to what? Gather and then to always have big makan, sit at the coffee shop, drink coffee. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that is the only purpose. Oh, even not forsaking an assembly of ourselves to come to church in order to what? Oh, because for so long we haven't meet one another, like during the time of COVID. For so long we haven't meet one another. We want to come together and assemble. But actually come to assemble is what? Is it to worship God? Is it to encourage one another or just to have small talk? Big, big difference. You must know, you are here to what? To exhort one another. To provoke one another unto love and to good works. That is the purpose. And if that is the, you have the right purpose, then that is good. Then you should urgently pursue to meet one another. In closing, I'd just like to share a testimony of how much good FCM has done for me. I'm really privileged to be here because I have received so much from the Lord through the FCM. You know, when I was a young Christian, when I entered first into the church, it was very turbulent times. Why? Because of the, I've shared with you all, it was a VPP controversy. Even in the FCM, we had Bible teachers who were not for the preservation of the scriptures. But nevertheless, despite all these things, the Lord used the FCM to teach me a lot of things from God's word. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they taught me a lot from God's word. And you know, along the week, we will sometimes meet for prayer. We will gather and then we pray for one another. We try to meet one another for our meals. And after that, after Bible study, we will also go out and then talk to one another, watch out for one another, provoke one another, love and good works over a meal. Then I was in NUS Science. And we have some very common meeting place, sometimes nearby Clementi, sometimes Holland Village, and sometimes NUH Canteen. Now, where is the common place for NUS? I think it's University Hall, right? No more. Shifrier. Engineering. Oh, now the Engineering Canteen. Oh, your shift your makan place. Oh no, classroom, okay, classroom. Last time our meeting place was NUS Science was in the science classroom. physics tutorial block. I'm a physics major, so it's very easy for me. I always go physics tutorial block. My wife, I get to know my wife from FCM. My wife was, is it two years after? I can't remember. Yeah. I got to know her there. She is NUS Science FCMer. Of course, please don't join FCM to go and find girlfriend, boyfriend, okay? You are here to what? All these things here. If the Lord will provide, praise the Lord. But thank the Lord, I found her. This is where you should... a very good avenue to find your best friends, because they know the Lord, they love the Lord, and you all should do one another to... do good to one another, to encourage one another to follow the Lord. And I'm very thankful that there are many also in the same study group, both 1 year senior and both a few years junior, that in the end are still doing very well for the Lord. One of the seniors that that ministered to me, right, in FCM, is now a deacon here. That's 1 year senior, and that is Deacon Adrian Ho. So now I'm revealing quite a lot of secrets here, but I'm sure they don't mind. And along the same batch, actually junior to myself, but along the same batch, there are quite a few ladies that you all will find quite familiar. Besides, I thank God for my wife there. There's also Mrs. Joshua Yong and Mrs. Jeffrey Koo, the current one. And of course, there's also Mrs. Joshua Yong's sister. All doing well for the Lord. And I believe that FCM actually played a very big part in it. And of course, there are others too. I sometimes see my friends around here. And when we see one another, our hearts are very encouraged. So, please continue to meet with one another. What you are doing right now is very important for these uncertain times. In fact, I've seen some who forsake FCM. And I always try to encourage people to attend FCM. I've seen some forsake FCM. Some are preserved by the grace of God. But others, you know, because they don't want to set the meeting of the saints as a priority, with time they fade away. Because all the time is about schoolwork, or sometimes taken in by hall. No time for spiritual things. You really need that reminder. So please continue in this good way. Right? Do not forsake the assembling ourselves together, both in your various church fellowship youth groups. Right? That of course will take priority. And after that, if the Lord gives you a good time, and I believe you all should have that time, right, please continue to meet in the FCM. It will form a good base to help you all through these uncertain times. And after that, also to help you understand the principles of God's word that will help you through even future uncertain times. May the Lord bless all of you, young friends. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for this FCM retreat that you have given to all of us, and how wonderful it is to see all the young people here. It is a blessing, O Lord, that we have one another to encourage one another in the faith. And now, Father, we commit each other into thy hands. Please, by thy grace, keep us walking in the right way. Help us, Lord, not to stray. And should we stray, O Lord, please use our brothers and sisters to minister to us, to rebuke us and also to point us in the good way. And when we have done well, O Lord, we pray that we will also be encouraging one another to abide in the good way. So, Father, we pray for the SCM ministry. May Thou continue to sustain this ministry for Thy glory, not just in terms of numbers, O Lord, but more importantly, that the FCM must have the right spirit, forever abiding in Thy word, and truly have encouraging its members to have pure love in Christ Jesus towards one another. May, Lord, You continue to watch over the young people, and may there, O Lord, be another generation of young men and young women who will stand up for Thee. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Stop first.